The most dramatic abandonment of the principles of positivism has been in the development of our present theory of quarks. In the early 1960s, Murray Gell-Mann and George Zweig independently tried to reduce the tremendous complexity of the zoo of particles then known at the time. They proposed that almost all particles are composed of a few simple and even more elementary particles that Gell-Mann named quarks. This idea, at first, did not seem at all outside the mainstream of the way that physicists were accustomed to think. It was, after all, one more step in a tradition that had started with Leucippus and Democritus, of trying to explain complicated structures in terms of simpler, smaller constituents. The quark picture was applied in the 1960s to a great variety of physical problems having to do with the properties of the neutrons and protons and mesons and all the other particles that were supposed to be made up out of quarks. And generally, it worked quite well. Yet the best efforts of experimental physicists in the 1960s and the early 1970s proved inadequate to dislodge quarks from the particles that were supposed to contain them. This seemed crazy. Ever since Thomson pulled electrons out of atoms in a cathode ray tube, it had always been possible to break up any composite system, like a molecule or an atom or a nucleus, into the individual particles of which it is composed. Why then should it be impossible to isolate free quarks? The quark picture began to make sense with the advent, in the early 1970s, of quantum chromodynamics, our modern theory of strong nuclear forces, which forbids any process in which a free quark might be isolated. The breakthrough came in 1973, when independent calculations by David Gross and Frank Vilcek at Princeton and David Politzer at Harvard showed that certain kinds of quantum field theory have a peculiar property known as asymptotic freedom, that the forces in these theories decrease at high energies. Just such a decrease in force had been observed in experiments on high-energy scattering going back to 1967. But this was the first time that any theory could be shown to have forces that behave in this way. This success rapidly led to one of these quantum field theories, the theory of quarks and gluons, known as quantum chromodynamics, rapidly being accepted as the correct theory of the strong nuclear forces. Originally, it was assumed that gluons had not been observed to be produced in elementary particle collisions because they are heavy, and there had not been enough energy available in these collisions to produce the large gluon masses. Soon after the discovery of asymptotic freedom, a few theorists proposed instead that the gluons are massless, like photons. If this were true, then the reason that gluons, and presumably also quarks, are not observed would have to be that exchange of the massless gluons between quarks or gluons